Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Thanks for downloading this episode of Spin the Rally Pod, which, of course, at time of recording, is the very latest episode, which, by my calculations, I make 53 days into coronavirus lockdown here in the UK. I'm rally fan and radio journalist Lisa O'Sullivan, but the experts are former team boss George Donaldson, Dirtfish senior writer David Evans, and the voice of rally himself, Colin Clark. So yeah, the usual gang is all here. And Colin, you sent out the agenda for today's discussions, and there are a lot of really interesting talking points on this. Now, shall we start? The discussion we've been having is what would constitute a championship in a COVID-19 lockdown era? And I understand that we've kind of got a better idea in some people's mind of what might constitute a WRC season.
Yeah, listen, I was very fortunate to get about half an hour of Oliver Ciesla's time earlier on in the week. Now, Oliver Ciesla, for those of you who don't know, he is the joint managing director of the WRC promoter. So, you know, in terms of, they can't decide, the promoter can't decide on what makes a WRC season, what constitutes a season, what validates a season. But clearly, in discussions with the FIA, they can have a look at that situation. Now, what Ciesla confirmed to me was that they were working towards a minimum of 7 rounds. He didn't absolutely confirm that. He said you'd have to ask the FIA, but that's what he's working to. So, they're working to a minimum of 7 rounds, which means, Lise, we've got to find 4 more rounds before the end of the season. Now, you know, you might think, well, that's not too difficult. There are 8 or 9 rounds with postponed, not cancelled events, potentially, that we could pick from. But I don't know, David, I'm looking through the calendar and I'm thinking, we might struggle to get 4 rounds before the end of the year. I'm thinking we're probably going to go to Turkey. Good chance we'll go to Germany. Outside of those two, there are big question marks over every event.
I think, Colin, there's got to be big question marks over every event. You know, Turkey, how, you know, this is my issue with all of this right now, is that how can anybody, you know, give any kind of confirmation or anything? Because we simply don't know. We don't know if Turkey's going to have a spike or the neighbouring country, and then they close the borders, and it's impossible to know. But equally, you're right, you know, the further we look back, I think we can count New Zealand out. There's potential for Finland moving back into September. And then, you know, we're down to GB. Could GB run? Who knows? The state that we're in right now. Germany, Turkey, Japan, another one, you know, will people be willing to make a long-haul trip? I, talking to other people in the service park, the feeling right now is that we absolutely hang in the balance. It's 50-50 if we get those 7 rallies this year. And there are voices out there that are calling to say, let's just, you know, stop it now. And there's an awful lot of sense in that, because it would stop, not that I'm advocating such a move, but it would stop all this pontification. All, you know, the safari question mark has gone on for weeks, if not months. And we've now got a decision that it's cancelled. I know they're not saying cancelled, but it's cancelled this year. It is back on the agenda for next year. But as far as I'm concerned, the 2020 Safari Rally has been cancelled.
What I was going to ask George on this side of things is, from a financial point of view, where we're talking about how the economies everywhere are struggling, about everybody's trying to stay in business, wouldn't a clear-cut decision on this financially help teams plan or prepare or, you know, effectively stay in business?
I mean, I guess it would, Lisa. Certainty is always better than uncertainty. But what about the investment teams have made this year? I mean, I think the key thing that I'm looking around in the world is that everybody really needs to get restarted in order to survive. Mothballing a business for a further 7 months is a tough shout for everyone. Maybe that's what the world will demand of us, in which case, you know, too bad, that's what we've got. But if we can restart earlier, I would think that nearly every team would, or certainly every business would generally say, yes, please, I want to get restarted. I want my business running again. You don't want the world to run away in front of you. You don't want to be necessarily at the vanguard of it, subjecting yourself, your employees, your colleagues, your teammates to any further risk. It's just a question of, you know, I mean, has COVID-19 overnight turned into some form of, you know, disease that's fatal for 99.9% of the population rather than the other way around? Now, that's a tough one. We know that flus can mutate, and I suspect that is what a lot of the reluctance is from, I would suggest, about 50% of the population. People are waiting to see what this dashed thing does. It's a hell of a problem. Some countries are going ahead and opening, and some are not. Business-wise, yeah. I think, honestly speaking, business-wise, we need to get back out there. So I would advocate going for the four rounds this year if we could.
Could I just say, I was actually typing when I was talking to you the last bit. So
we're loving the authenticity.
I've been slightly distracted, and I'm just thinking, did I actually say that it might be good not to have any more rallies this year? If I did, I would like to revisit that and say that would be a catastrophe. We need Jolly rallies good. This year.
that's exactly the opposite of what you said, David. Well done.
What absolutely brings it to, you know, I'm sort of partly joking there. You know, I can see that ending the championship and saying enough, it gives you a fresh start next year. There's definitely thinking behind that. But I've spoken to so many of the private teams in the service park, and they, exactly like you, George, exactly like you say, they are desperate. They're on the brink of going into bankruptcy because they've got no income. You know, they're still spending on rent, on, you know, on staff members, on parts, on all of this, and they're getting no income. Yep. And these teams, we will lose teams if we don't get rallies this year.
David, I totally agree. That's absolutely bang on. And if we can rally, we have to rally. And the only reason for calling really the whole thing off for the rest of the year is if we are serious about sitting down and re-looking at the whole thing, you know, the regulations, the way we run rallies, and we give ourselves the time to prepare for a completely changed environment that we're going to re-emerge into. My feeling is that's not going to happen. You know, certainly again, when I talked to Ciesler last week, he was adamant that we don't have time to re-look at the regulations. I found a little odd because they were only agreed a month or so ago, but fair enough, maybe we don't have enough time. But B, he didn't think it was the right thing to do. And my understanding is also that the FIA are perhaps reluctant to relook at the regulations. So if that's the case, there's absolutely no point in calling it off. We have to, you know, stick in there and hold out the hope that we are going to get a number of rallies. I genuinely am not certain we'll get four before the end of the year, but if we get three, we have to take those three.
We do, and I know that, George, you feel particularly strongly about this, and we touched on this last time, and you're exactly right, because, you know, each of the drivers would have approached the three rallies we've had so far, driving for a championship, doing everything they can to win those rallies, to garner as many points as possible. So, you know, ultimately, why don't we potentially declare Sebastien Ogier a champion after three rounds? You know, there's an argument for that as well, isn't there?
There absolutely is. I mean, as I said, I think two events make a championship. Three certainly do. But look, let's get as many in as we can. There's no need to put any definitive number on it. We started a championship. Everyone approached it in the same way. And yes, you know, you can have a disastrous Monte Carlo and then you can have a brilliant back end of the year. Well, it's a little bit shorter than expected, but nobody had a crystal ball. Nobody had planned for it. And certainly nobody threw Monte Carlo away deliberately. So it's part of the series, honestly. You know, and I think, I mean, look, all three team principles are very, very mature, very understanding of that, and they would all accept it, and the drivers will accept it too. Ultimately, they'll have no choice.
But George, I think that we do have to have a number of rallies. We have to have, you know, when we do resume, there has to be a goal. We can't just say, well, if we only have one more, we declare that a championship.
Colin, I would agree with you 100% in a normal circumstance. It's definitely because it's part of the strategy. You would strategize. You would say, well, we know we're a little bit weak in Monte. We're a little bit weak in maybe Sweden, but we're brilliant in Mexico. We're brilliant in Turkey. So, you know, we'll throw the resources, focus on those events to get the wins. That's part of the strategy. Strategy's gone out the window this year. It's a circumstance that affects us all, and it's outside all of our control. I think you're just going to have to take this championship like Tommy Mäkinen or Colin McRae would drive an event, drive to win everything. You know, that's it. That's what year's championship's got to be. There's your strategy for the year now.
Okay. But to agree to that, well, if we are to get that kind of scenario, which I think you're right, we've had a lot invested in what's been a very difficult year. The drivers, the teams, the sponsors, the promoters have invested a lot in it, and we need to have a champion. But everyone has to agree to that. Everyone has to agree that, A, if we get no more rallies, Ogier is champion. If we get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more rallies, well, it doesn't matter how many we get, whoever is leading the, whoever's at the top of the list, at the end of the year, whether it's 4, 5, 6 rallies, then they are the champion. We need to get agreement from everyone before we recommence the season, I guess, for that.
I don't see the problem you've got with that. Agree. I was going to say, and the problem you have with that is if Sebastien Ogier is leading and there's no chance of your driver winning the Drivers' Championship, you might choose not to compete and save money for next time. I mean, if it's effectively a done deal because there's only going to be one more event, or two more events, and you can't affect the final outcome, there may be teams that are thinking, well, what's the point? Because he's already won the title.
But then we have to go to a situation that George says is impossible, where we define the number of rounds. So now, right now, we say 6 rounds, 7 rounds make a championship. And if we fall short of that, we don't have a champion. So you can't have it both ways. We have to either have basically unilateral or multilateral agreement in the service park about the fact that however many rounds we get forms a championship, or you need to get agreement on a defined number of rounds. You can't do it both ways.
I think you'll find there's probably something already in the FIA regulations.
It seems to be.
About the number of events.
This was going to be my question, George, to you, is that there is nothing in the sporting regs to say that this is the number of rallies that we need to constitute a championship.
You have to go into the sporting code, not the WRC regs.
I'm
talking about the FIA sporting code.
When I asked Matt on about this, uh-huh. Eve Matt on the FIA rally director, he couldn't tell me because he said there isn't anything written down, because obviously we've never, ever foreseen a circumstance where we are going to lose potentially a whole season. You know, we had the oil crisis, which came and went. But is that a failing in terms of the governing body, or is it understandable?
Isn't really nothing in there in terms of, the worst case scenario in terms of war or, you know.
No, there's nothing. There's nothing like that in it. But there are provisions for the cancellation of events, and it's basically force majeure. And I think you'll find that tucked away in there in some of the wording, there's a statute that FIA can pick up and campaign on and say, that's it, that's our decision, and it's in the regs, it's in the sporting code. Not in the FIA championship regs, but in the sporting code, I think you'll find. I recall reading something about cancelled events and the number of events and points can reduce, etc. Like this, there are a few caveats in there, but you know that I've got the sporting code downloaded on my laptop. My laptop isn't next to me right now, so I can't open it up.
Yeah,
but and I normally look at the FIA regulations when I'm being paid to. I don't look at it for interest. I'm not that boring, honestly.
You can find the right paragraph and point David Evans towards it, and he can put it on the website and dogfish.com.
I used to have to carry the books around all the time, Lisa. I had my sporting code, my championship regulations, my WRC regulations, and then you go to all the sub-regulations, then all the technical regulations, and then the homologation regulations. I had about 7 books, and you know what? if you can cross-reference the right things, you can work wonders in the stewards' room perfectly legitimately as well.
But David, it doesn't matter whether there is a regulation there or not, because the FIA have given themselves quite sweeping powers, haven't they? You know, whereas we used to have to go through a whole process of committees and recommendations to amend the regulations, they've rightly given themselves the powers to enact emergency regulations. So, you know, they will decide between the promoter, between the teams, between the FIA, they'll decide on what constitutes a season in terms of minimum rounds, and they will communicate that to us at some point, I guess.
Exactly. And you know, these, you know, the emergency powers, whatever, they're pretty similar to, you know, the process will be similar to World WRC Commission, that all of the stakeholders will sit down and debate this. But at the minute, it's very difficult to know what we're debating, isn't it? Because do we include Finland in a championship, New Zealand? We just don't know. So I think, you know, you're both right. And we just have to essentially play the ball as it lies and take what we're given and crack on. There's not an awful lot. You know, we could sit and talk more about this, but we ain't going to get very far, are we? Because we don't know, unless somebody knows more than the rest of the world.
I'm bored of the subject.
Only steer we've got is the interview, which you'll hear. You'll certainly read about before you hear this podcast. You might even hear or see the interview. The interview with Ciesler, where he says seven. So that's what we're going on just now, and I think that's as much information as good, solid information as we've got, and that we can go on.
And that's exactly the number that when I asked Steve Maton and said, what is the FIA policy on what constitutes a championship? He said, we don't have anything. My personal feeling is we need seven. And then talking to all of the teams, the feeling from them was, you know, you look at WRC 2, WRC 3, JWRC, they can make a championship from seven. They do make a championship from seven rounds. Therefore, there is precedent within the FIA to award a World Rally Championship title off the back of seven. So,
Things are changing, David. We are kind of getting closer to coming out of lockdown, and whatever's happening with the coronavirus, you know, we are seeing countries taking steps to actually get back into some kind of normality. But what kind of post-COVID-19 landscape are we going to emerge into? We have seen some countries or some blueprints being put forward for how rallying could work once we escape the lockdown.
Yeah, we are coming into a completely changed landscape. And again, we saw that paper come out of Australia and their return to race document. There's very little kind of firm detail on exactly how it can work, because, you know, rallying is fundamentally different to circuit racing because there are two people in the car. So, you know, how do we socially distance two people in one car? If you look at our current government advice, you roll the windows down and crack on. So, that's a very, very difficult question, a very difficult debate, I think.
Yeah, it's one that needs to be had, though, and had pretty quickly, David, because there's not a government, I don't think, anywhere in the world that's going to let a rally go ahead right now or in the foreseeable future without a proper plan about not only how they manage the participants in the event and the surrounding circus, so the mechanics, the service park, the media, the marshals, all of those people, they need managing. But perhaps more pertinently, you know, it's the spectators. It's how we manage the spectator issue, and I think that's going to be perhaps the biggest challenge, and it's where maybe we need to have a little bit more, not joined up thinking as such, but you know, thinking that takes on best practices from various places around the world. You know, again, when I talked to the WRC promoter last week, you know, there was talk about how they might try and discourage fans from going to certain stages, how they might perhaps close the roads off around certain stages a bit earlier. You know, all these things, I suppose, are practical, but are they going to be enough? And the only way that we're going to find that out, David, is if we get the opportunity to sit down, try some of them out, and see what's acceptable and what's not, George.
Yeah, Colin, I have to say, I mean, I kind of agree with everything that's been said so far. And David, it'd be much better if you told us what the team's suggestion on a championship would have been before we had that massive long 18-minute debate. Sorry. However, Colin, I believe, look, there are some incredibly dynamic rally teams out there. And I mean, rally organiser teams out there. I cannot believe for a minute that the New Zealand organisers are not making a plan that would allow them to run the event. I'm absolutely sure Rally GB, Rally Deutschland, all these events are all making plans to try and find a way to explain to all their regional governments how they can run the event. And remember, nearly all these rallies are supported in some way by the regional governments. The regional governments want these events coming. So they'll get great access and we might well be at the vanguard of it all. Regarding REC, nearly 6 months away, no, what is it, 4 months away, 5 months away. Quite frankly, if we're still in lockdown or still have significant restrictions to the way we can move around and do business in 6 months' time, nobody's going to have any money to leave their house.
But, George, you know, there's a massive dilemma here. There's a massive dilemma. And it's why we have to have a look at this joined-up thinking about, you know, how we, A, put a rally on, logistically speaking, and, B, how we make them work commercially. Because, you know, you talk about Rally GB, and yeah, I'm sure they'll get all the help they can.
I think you'll find that George actually spoke about the RAC, but we can fast forward another 20 years.
Yeah. Rally GB, and you look at Rally Finland, and here's the dilemma, and it's a massive dilemma that they've got. Yes, they have to obviously do their best to show that they are COVID safe and that they are COVID responsible, but they've also got to sell as many tickets as they possibly can, because both GB and Finland and many other rallies rely on spectator ticket sale income to balance the books at the end of the day. It is a massive, massive dilemma, and one that right now, you know, the question about how you solve that dilemma is not obvious. And it doesn't matter how good these teams are. The answer to that is very, very unclear. And therefore, if you extrapolate from that, George, you know, the actual running of these events is unclear and uncertain. Has to be.
You know, I totally understand it. But it's above my pay grade, to be honest, the whole thing.
I was thinking how naive as well to suggest that, you know, you will be able to go out and close the roads earlier and that will stop fans going to the end of stages. If fans want to go and see the end of a stage, they will get there. The stories I have heard tell over the years of people saying, well, I got there a day early, or I took a hiking path that took me over the mountain to get there so that I could be in position before anyone else. The reality of the sport is that the fans know how to get where they want to be and love it. And it's trying to embrace them in the plan for their own safety. I mean, the fact is that you can go and watch a rally stage and you will be nice and socially distanced. But the fact is that you have also perhaps travelled to an area that people don't want tourists from outside coming into.
I think right now, Lise, as we speak, the first spectators are arriving in Dovnan Tunney. They're just pitching their tents. they're ready.
Rally Australia ran a very successful quarantine program around the stages up at Mundaring, just above Perth in Western Australia. And nobody was allowed in that area except the rally cars and the marshals and the safety crews. And everything was quarantined on the way in because of a Jarrah dieback bug that was affecting the trees.
How many people live in that area, though, James?
Well, I was just going to say the population there is not massive, is it?
But the rally fans were huge. It was a massive turnout of rally fans in certain stages. So I wouldn't... it's not the thousands that we're going to get in Europe. I'm just saying,
George,
do it, you know. And Colin, we don't see people on stop lines anymore. People are quarantined away from stop lines.
They don't see it.
And it's only on certain rallies that have slackness that allow spectators into that area, because in theory, according to all the safety plans and the requirements, there should be no public in between the flying finish and the exit control for the stop line.
We're not worried about one particular part of the stage. We're worried about, you know, 22
overall,
kilometres of El Condor with 100,000.
What we're worried about, we're worried about that. We're worried about people standing shoulder to shoulder.
Shoulder to shoulder. But, George, you know, you talk about Rally Australia and Western Australia and the fact that, yes, they could quarantine certain areas. You know, again, what we're talking about here is a blueprint for the future. And a blueprint for the future could be that we take rallying, if we want it to continue in the near future, we take it to places that are less accessible. We have to find a way of financing the events that are not reliant on ticket sales. You know, if we want a rally to happen, we have to take it to places where, with some degree of certainty, we can guarantee that our plan to keep crowds away will work. So maybe places like Western Australia, the Scottish Islands, and all the rest are places that you've got to think about going forward. As I say, all these things I think just need to be discussed. I think some of them are completely impractical, but they need to be discussed. I'm sure they are, David.
But absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned there the potential for different format rallies. We've talked, we all have heard the suggestion of two-day rallies, all to us absolutely, you know, perfectly sellable solutions. But go and talk to Kai Tarkinen in Finland or Ian Campbell in GB. They cannot run a two-day event. Simply, nope. There is not a ticket revenue there to make it happen. So, you know, we can have all of these ideas. Perhaps a two-day event could work in Japan, where there's a lot of government investment. But, you know, one size will not fit all with all of this. But what we have to be looking at, and what I'm absolutely sure all of the stakeholders are looking at, is the potential for cramming events in, trying to do back-to-back events, maybe trying to do two events in one location. You know, you look at what Formula One's doing, and, okay, I think potentially they're ahead of where they really should be in terms of global health and all of that. But, you know, they're trying to run these two Grand Prix in Austria and two in Britain, back-to-back weekends. Maybe we have to look at some sort of solution like that. I don't know. There's not, while there are significant financial concerns and implications in the World Rally Championship, I'm not sure we're at the same level as Formula One. But we have to look at everything.
Yeah, we do. We do have to look at everything. But David, those are solutions for this season. You know, I think we've moved on a wee bit from that discussion onto how we look at, you know, a post-COVID. You know, how do we plan for 2021? How do we plan for, you know, for rallies? How the rallies put forward plans that perhaps will be accepted by local authorities, by national governments, by sporting authorities in 2021? Because, you know, we're still going to be, a lot of us, I would suggest the majority of us are going to be living under some forms of restrictions for another year, 18 months, maybe 2 years, who knows? So we need to be thinking that far ahead. Yeah, there's the immediate concern about how we complete the season this year. But more than that, there is the concern about how we come up with this blueprint for, not us, it's not up to us, just up to us to offer opinion on what we hear.
Are you serious, Colt? Did you just say 2 years?
Two years, I think,
genuinely,
I think
that hadn't that, even come to my radar.
Here's the thing. I don't think we will be getting... Let's talk about music festivals. I don't think we'll be getting a Glastonbury for at least 2 years in the UK. At least. I can't see a situation where, for example, the Cheltenham Festival, 100,000-odd people crammed into whatever it was, you know, half a square mile of turf. I can't see that happening. They will restrict the number of people that are allowed into those areas for, I think, certainly a year, maybe. I'm not saying definitely 2 years. I know no
Colin,
more than anyone.
If you look at the history of these types of viruses, they ebb and wane, and you know they disappear. They actually disappear.
Yeah.
And they have a habit of popping back a little bit. Sometimes it pops back horribly mutated, which I guess is the reason why we're still locked down now, is that certain people are saying, look, this virus could mutate into something much, much, much worse. And you only have to go back exactly 100 years to have one that was much, much, much worse. And then you would have nobody being brave and going outside thinking it won't affect me, because actually it affected a horrible amount of people. Oh, there's a dog. Sorry for that in the background.
David, you have to leave us. You have a very important call. Are you okay, David, to stay with us for 5 more minutes? Because we had one more thing we wanted to discuss.
Yeah, go on. No, carry on.
Yeah, listen, you know, the whole COVID thing will clearly run, and we will continue to offer our opinions, I'm sure, over the coming months. But, David, a lot of talk will be a little parochial here. I know we've got a worldwide audience, but we'll be a little parochial here and talk about Wales Rally GB. Because as we know, as it stands, this is the last year of the Welsh Government sponsorship. A lot of talk about potentially Wales Rally GB becoming, whatever it might be, Northern Ireland Rally GB, I guess. Tarmac lanes around Northern Ireland. It's been floated around for a while, David, that thought. It's had some degree of prominence, and then it's dropped down again. But it seems to have come back this week, the talk about Northern Ireland perhaps being the host for Rally GB next year. What do you make of that? Do you think that we should be putting a lot of store into that discussion?
I've got to say, you've clearly seen more than I've seen, Colt. I haven't picked this one up for a couple of weeks.
I'm so glad you said that, because I've been scattering around trying to find out more information on this.
Well, listen, well, let me inform you then about, let you know what I've been reading. It did go very quiet. There was talk that clearly, you know, there was government backing and all the rest, and then it went very quiet. I suspect now that, as we've discussed quite a bit already, you know, budgets will be tight next year. It does look, a senior member of the Northern Ireland Assembly, I think it is, has come out and said he is very much in favour of a round of the World Rally Championship coming to Northern Ireland.
This is the Ian Paisley thing, isn't it?
No, it's not Ian Paisley that said that. It's someone else that has said that, which I think is why they're getting excited again.
So, who knows? Who knows? The last I heard was that it was difficult to get the cash together in time for next year. And the most likely scenario was that we would be remaining in Wales for another year. I haven't spoken to anybody in Northern Ireland for a while because it seemed to have gone cold. The last intel I got out of there was that, it was now looking quite doubtful and more difficult. And we were potentially looking at an extension with Wales. So I will go away, do my homework, Colin, and come back to you.
Well, David, you're quite right. You know, what we have to be wary of here is that, you know, the media agenda can be driven by a certain point of view, can't it? And there's clearly, there's a group who really would love to see Rally GB go to Northern Ireland. For me, the bigger question is, you know, it's such a massive, massive cultural change in terms of rally culture to go from, you know, one of the most established gravel rallies, the most respected gravel rallies in the world, to a tarmac rally.
Yeah, but I think, you know, we've got to keep this in context as well, Colin, in that it's not a long-term deal for Ireland. It's not like a rotation of 3 years here, 3 years there. It's a single deal. It's a single season of running, just exactly like Rally New Zealand has a single-year deal. That's what Northern Ireland would have. In many ways, it would buy Motorsport UK some time to go and do a deal somewhere else. It could work brilliantly, but my understanding is there isn't enough funding for a rolling 3 year deal.
And that was post lockdown, I'm guessing.
That's kind of what I was told a couple of weeks, 3 weeks ago. And I can't imagine that's going to change. So it's not, you know, there will be a large number of people who would have serious concerns about Rally GB being on tarmac. You know, at the moment, we have to cut our cloth and understand that potentially there's not enough funding for the event in Wales. If there's money in Northern Ireland, let's go there. Let's go there for a year. And let's give Motorsport UK time to do a deal somewhere else. There are other geographical regions in the UK that are really genuinely showing a lot of interest in the event. So let's talk to them. Let's see what's possible. But I think, personally, I thoroughly enjoyed the last, what is it, are we up to now 222 years in Wales, or how long has it been? We've been in there for quite a long time. It's been fabulous. You know, it's been absolutely great. But for me, it would be amazing to see us go back to the north of England, to the Scottish borders, to go further into Scotland. It would be wonderful. And the event has so much to offer, as does Belfast and Northern Ireland. You know, some of the greatest rallying that the world will ever see takes place in that part of the world. So, you know, we shouldn't be dismissive just because it's not a traditional format for the event. Not that I was suggesting you were dismissive there, Col.
No. I was just putting the question out there. I don't have any problems with it because, like you, I enjoyed massively Rally Ireland in, where were we based? Were we in Sligo 1 year? You know, it was a fantastic event. And as you rightly say, a wonderful, wonderful rally community out there. So, no, I'm sure it'd be great. Yeah. I just wonder how well it would be received. That was my question.
I've just got to say, you've disappointed me in that I thought if we were going to talk about Irish rallying this week, as much as I would always want to talk about Irish rallying, the one thing we should talk about is the video from Michael Fassbender on dirtfish.com with the brilliant Barry Goodman co-driving for him. And Barry's story about how the whole thing nearly didn't happen, which is a fascinating tale. And if you haven't read it and seen it yet, then head straight to Dirtfish immediately.
Love it.
I'm on my way.
I'm on my way as well. At least we're on our way.
I think I might have to go as well.
As the Pretenders said, we're all on our way. Proclaimers. Sorry, did I say Pretenders? I meant the Proclaimers, didn't I? Sorry, Colin.
It's all right, mate. I'm used to it.
We're on our way to happiness. From happiness, I can't remember the lyrics.
Sorry.
I'm glad you don't.
That one. Yeah. So, well, that's us cracked through the list. I kind of feel that something's not right because we're under time, but maybe we keep this one nice and short.
Yeah, well, it's a fairly tight subject, isn't it? And I've run out of interest, to be honest. I just want to get rallying again. Enough of this talk about delays and change. Just get me back out there, please.
This is the point, isn't it? You know, we all do our research. We all, and I am so fed up with talking about postponements, cancellations. What can we do? When can it run? It's just dull. Let's just, you know, somehow time travel through the next few months and get back to in controls and the side of the road at stages.
Sound of an engine being started and that lovely sweet smell of the fuel.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Please. Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nostalgic smell of brake dust.
Yeah. Yes, all those things. All those things. Yes, please.
Well, we can't get back to rallying, but dirtfish.com is perhaps the best place to go in the interim because, as you've been hearing, David Evans, Colin Clark and the rest of the team have been putting up lots of pretty pictures, videos. We've got McLean's
daily diecast.
Oh,
superb.
Just utterly brilliant as well. So you can put it on a big screen and sit really close and pretend you're living in the past, maybe. That's one way of getting your rally kicks. But that's it for this edition of Spin the Rally Pod. If you want to get in touch, it's at Dirtfish Rally. Ping us over your thoughts or perhaps some suggestions for questions that you can ask of any of these experts. The voice of rally, Colin Clark, senior writer for dirtfish.com, David Evans, or former team boss, George Donaldson. And I also urge you to tune in and relive the Safari Rally of 1996. Was it George? Was it 98?
98.
Yes. And also GB98, two fantastic podcasts as well that will be both up on the site probably by the time you listen to this. But for now, lads, it's been a joy listening to you and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Lise.
Thank you.
Cheers, Lisa. Thank you.
Kind of a bit confused that we've finished on time.